The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, January the 15th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump denies making a vulgar statement while immigrant leaders plan an all-out push this week for the DREAM Act. Also on our rundown, we take a look at why cities sometimes produce better results than the feds, and we head to MLK Day in Wisconsin. Now, our top story, President Trump insisted Sunday, "I am not a racist," in response to reports he had used a vulgar term to describe immigrants from Haiti and African countries. Reuters reporting that Trump said he was ready, willing, and able to reach a deal to protect illegal immigrants brought to the United States as children from being deported, but that he did not believe Democrats wanted an agreement. Earlier on Sunday, Trump tweeted that the existing program would probably be discontinued. Meantime, leaders in Arizona's immigrant rights community are launching an all-out campaign to get lawmakers to pass the DREAM Act as part of the federal budget, which has to be approved by Friday.
The group Promise Arizona held a five-hour Souls to the Phones event on Sunday and will have another tomorrow, directing supporters to call Senator Jeff Flake and encourage him to press for a clean DREAM Act. They're also sending a delegation of Dreamers to Washington, D.C. this week, including Carlos Yanez, who came to the U.S. from Mexico at age six and is now at ASU.
My dream is to become a doctor, and so for me, it means that I get to follow my dream.
Today, supporters of DACA will be marching as part of the Martin Luther King Day parade in Phoenix to press their point about allowing DACA recipients a shot at the American dream. President Donald Trump terminated the DACA program last fall, but delayed its effect until March, arguing that President Barack Obama overstepped his authority. Just last week, a federal judge in California ruled that the administration must continue to accept DACA applications while the matter is under litigation. I'm Suzanne Potter.
There are an estimated 800,000 DACA recipients currently in the U.S. The L.A. Times reports a blunder that caused more than a million people in Hawaii to fear they were about to be struck by a nuclear missile, fed skepticism Sunday about the government's ability to keep them informed in a real emergency. The Times reports the erroneous warning was sent during a shift change at the state's emergency management agency when someone doing a routine test hit the live alert button. This week, the family of a man who died in Raleigh police custody is hoping to have more answers. From North Carolina, Stephanie Carson explains.
Curtis Roman Mangum began showing signs of medical distress last Wednesday after he was taken into custody with another suspect. He later died after being transferred to Wake Med, and his mother is barely able to speak through her grief. Betty Johnson, in her own words.
I want justice. The police system. All this needs is change to make it better than what it is.
Save Our Sons and the Police Accountability Community Task Force are working to help the family find out more information about what transpired before Mangum began having medical problems. The Raleigh Police Department says it is following procedure for in-custody deaths, and the chief of police will send a report to the city manager within five business days. The State Bureau of Investigation is now handling the case.
The family is asking for an external review of the officer's conduct in the case. And with massive budget cuts and deregulation coming from Washington, a new book says cities increasingly are becoming centers for problem solving. Andrea Sears has our report.
The United States is facing systemic problems such as rotting infrastructure and rising income inequality, but critics say the government is doing little to deal with those issues. According to Jeremy Nowak with Drexel University's Lindy Institute for Urban Innovation, cities and metropolitan areas in general have become the places where the big problems are being solved right now.
Whether they're climate change related or related to the acculturation of new immigrants or dealing with tough issues of inclusion, we saw cities as being places for problem solving.
In his book, The New Localism, co-authored with Bruce Katz, Nowak says cities often can produce better results through a more democratic process than state or national government. As the Trump administration abandons earlier federal government efforts to combat climate change, many cities are stepping in, setting goals for switching to renewable energy.
The book argues prioritizing localization will put the power in the hands of problem solvers rather than the politically connected. And finally, Tim Morrissey tells us, with speeches, music, and awards, Wisconsin's official state observation of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday begins at noon today in the Capitol Rotunda in Madison.
This year's theme is Do You Remember?, featuring remarks from Milwaukee native Muhib Dyer, who founded an organization dedicated to empowering youth. While the nation has made progress in attempting to achieve racial equality, the president and CEO of the Urban League of Madison, Dr. Reuben Anthony, says there are troubling signs that the nation may be sliding backward in achieving that goal.
People need to stand together in a peaceful way, on the way that Dr. King encouraged, and that we need to say, there's no turning back now. There is no turning back now. As a nation, we've come too far to turn back.
The Martin Luther King branch of the Milwaukee Public Library will again host a full day of activities honoring the life and legacy of Dr. King. Activities include music, poetry, dance, and community service events.
By the way, Wisconsin's annual ceremony to honor the legacy of Dr. King is the oldest official state celebration in the nation. That is our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.